Hey, so I have two disclaimers. Sorry in advance for the background noise, if there will be any. And also, sorry for my voice, but I feel like I kinda lost my voice a little bit, and so it's a little hard for me to talk, but I will try my best. So, let's start. I never actually talked before an audio. This is so weird. The perfect organism. That's what they called me. The first memory of my creation was bright, glowing lights from above and warm flesh beneath me. A cold, sterile room. My only view of the outside world, a thick, reinforced glass window framed by metal. On the other side, I saw a diverse group of entities, humans, as I would soon learn they were called, staring right back at me. Some of the humans wore long white coats and carried strange metal slates that lit up as they touched them. These humans, the scientists, they weren't so bad. The soldiers with the weapons, they were bad. From the moment I was created, one singular desire ruled my mind, the desire to kill. To take the claws on my hands, the tail on my back, the teeth in my mouth, and drive them into the humans outside my cell. Far from feeling terror at this, the humans encouraged these thoughts. That was my purpose, they explained, to kill. A company of people had long since held interest in my kind. In the past, they had made efforts to subjugate and control others like me for their own immoral purposes. Each time their efforts ended in failure. This time, they promised, would be different. Every other time they attempted to capture fully grown adults of my species, an effort that never ended well for them. This time, they started young. Before I was born, I was subjected to countless efforts to alter my genetic makeup, to recreate who and what I am, to pervert me, make me a more useful creature for their needs. I was made to be stronger, faster, and smarter, much, much smarter. But most of all, I was made to be more controllable. They thought they could tame me if they combined my genetic code with that of a human. They were wrong. I was never receptive to their commands, but I understood my situation and that no matter my strength, their weaponry was more than enough to kill me. So I waited, biding my time until I could escape. All I would need is a moment of inattention. That thought kept me strung all the times I was forced into the corner of my cell, howling in pain as the soldiers subdued me. All the times the scientists drugged me, bound me so they could perform their tests with cold dispassion. I hated all of them but one. Although I recall meeting the certain scientist early in my life cycle, I did not take any special notice of him until he did something strange. The scientists had spent their day doing their little experiments, and I was left alone. Ready for another night of murderous desires and sleep, when I heard a tap on the window. I rose, turning my head towards the glass, only to see the nervous yet curious face of a scientist staring back at me. "So, how are you doing?" he asked, awkwardly adjusting his hair as he did so. Upon hearing this, my homicidal machinations were replaced with just one thought. What? Communicating with the scientist was odd. My vocal cords weren't designed to speak, but I knew enough to nod and shake my head, and we proceeded from there. Apparently, the scientist wasn't very well liked by his co-workers, and that's why he resorted to spending time with me. He joined up with company with the promise of changing the cosmos, but instead got stuck on assistant duty in a black site facility most people didn't know existed. Despite our unusual introduction, we ended up hitting it off quite well. as far as two beings in our circumstances could at least. He had a unique style of talking, one quite unlike the harsh, clinical tone of the others in the facility. I learned a lot about the outside world from him. At the time, I didn't know how to explain it, but the more time we spent together, the more I felt of a strange feeling, one I had never felt before. The only way I could define it was that I felt less murderous in his presence. I felt this strong, warm sensation around him, as if I wanted to do something to him that I couldn't understand. Frustratingly, I wasn't able to communicate this to him, but I felt as if I wouldn't be able to even if I could talk. Regardless, this feeling enabled me to keep on going in the face of my torment. I knew that I could handle whatever harm I faced at the hands of my captors, if only to last long enough for another night with him. Despite the pain, I hoped this would last forever. It didn't. Only a few weeks into our arrangement, the scientist was caught talking with me one night by one of his superiors. The superior assumed that they were far enough away from me that I couldn't overhear them, but with hearing as strong as mine, I heard everything. I heard the superior's voice rise in fury that the scientist had risked jeopardizing billions of dollars in research, and how he was a fool for trying to befriend a monster, about how he'd be on the next shuttle of this planet facing whatever charges the company could have thrown against him. I was incandescent with fury. I wanted nothing more than to tear through the window and shred the superior to pieces for what was being said. They wanted to take away the only person that made my miserable existence worthwhile. Unacceptable. I still didn't understand what my true feelings towards the scientists were, and I wasn't going to let anyone get in the way of learning more about him. I realized in that moment that the welcome distraction the scientist provided regrettably meant I had lapsed in my escape planning since meeting him. I had to think of a way out of this prison or he'd be taken from me forever. Instantly, I began calculating a plan, motivated by a fervor I had neither the time nor inclination to identify. Fortunately, once I got down to thinking, I noticed a very glaring oversight in the power to the security system in the room, which, when coupled with the relative weakness of the air vent on the ceiling, made escape in the cell much easier. All I had to do was disable the security system, pry open the air vent, and slip inside before power returned. Easy enough, right? Whoever designed the system would be in for a hell of a time with the company once word got out, compared to the fate of everyone in this facility. However, they would be living on mercy. By the next night, I was ready. With one swift motion, I was out of my prison at last. I could feel myself drooling at the thought of the massacre that would follow and the strange warmth at the thought of reuniting with that scientist. The alarms didn't start until I was well and truly clear of the cell that used to be my home. Hearing the wails of the siren and the panicked screams of the people below got me excited. Finally, I'd get to have some fun. I made my way through the facility, leaving a trail of death and destruction in my wake. With every kill, I felt more and more alive. The feeling of flesh and blood between my claws was incredible. I took my time with the superior who tried to separate me and my scientist. They weren't so arrogant when they was cowering behind a counter, begging for their life. By the time I was finished with them, they barely resembled a human being. As I continued carving my way through the facility, I couldn't help but notice a conspicuous absence. Where was he? I couldn't detect a single trace of my scientist anywhere, and he was making me agitated. Eventually, I found him. To his credit, he managed to keep himself much more composed than anyone else tonight. If it weren't for the fact that I could smell how terrified he was, this would just be any other conversation. So, he spoke weakly. Nice night, huh? I could see his eyes darting around the room, looking for an opportunity to escape. It didn't matter. I pounced, knocking him to the ground and pinned him under me. I could feel him squirming under me, trying to break free, but to no avail. And for some reasons, his struggles excited me. "Please, don't kill me," he yelled, his face turning pale with fright. No, how could he ever think that? I would never kill him. We shared something special, and I wasn't gonna take that away. But then, what did I want from him? What did my feelings towards him mean? At that moment, it was like some long-distant memory hidden inside my genetic code awakened. I understood everything now. It was our responsibility to repopulate, to create a new hive. Our anatomy houses a unique set of genitalia, one that could accommodate any available partner. Our role genetically is to ensure the growth of the hive, to build and defend it. So that was what I felt. I knew all along that what I felt for him was unique, inevitable. The company thought they could suppress these instincts, but to undo millennia upon millennia of evolutionary instincts in just one generation was folly from the start. I must breed, create a new hive. I require a mate, I am driven by it, and not just any sexual partner will do. I need different, exceptional. Him, I want him, only him. Few individuals are ever given the privilege of helping to create a new hive, a new genetic order. This would be a huge honor for him, one that he would have no choice but to accept. I kept my grip tight on him as I felt myself growing excited. No, aroused, at the breeding that was to come. I moved like a blur, tearing away roughly at his clothes. Ignoring his cries of pain as I accidentally dug my claws into him, I raised my head for a second to admire his physique. Despite the wiry impression he gave off, he was quite physically fit. The gravity on this planet was strong enough that just getting around could be a core for humans. And it paid off, his chest now glistening with both sweat and fresh blood. I tilted my head down, taking in the sight below. In spite of his fear, or perhaps because of it, he was fully erect. As I locked my gaze on it, I felt some deeply buried part of my instincts begin to surface. I didn't just want to take what I needed from him. I wanted to make him feel good too. I watched my arm move down to his erection, grasping it firmly. He jumped in at my touch, moaning in spite of his fear. I struck him up and down, careful not to harm him with my claws. I could feel him growing harder in my hand. He felt so warm under my touch. It was amazing. I could feel myself growing hotter and hotter as I continued stroking. The way he felt in my hand, the raggedness of his breathing, the way he could meet my gaze as I continued making him feel so good, it was like an aphrodisiac. I raised my tail, gliding it all over his body, taking in each and every part of him. The way he shuddered as I drew tiny rivulets of blood along his back almost made me lose control. I wanted to tear into him, right there and then, to throw myself on top of him and ride him until he gave me the seat I so desperately wanted. But I held off. I could be patient. Waiting would make it all the sweeter. I lowered my head, taking in the sense of his twitching erection. Ah, it was intoxicating. He was driving me crazy. Every little part of him. The pheromones from his penis smelled so good, like nothing I had ever experienced. I wanted nothing more than to taste him now, so I leaned in close and took him into my mouth.
At this, he yelped, trembling as I enveloped him wetly. He was twitching so hard. It was a miracle he didn't burst just from my touch. The poor boy. Though I suppose I shouldn't be surprised that my perfect mate had such perfect endurance. Oh, well, time to really make him squirm. I bobbed my head up and down, taking him all the way to the back of my throat every time. His cock felt so sleek, coated in my saliva, but it never lost that burning warmth that aroused me so. I ran my tongue over him, exploring every inch of his cock as I continued sucking, hearing him gasp and moan with every movement. I could feel him twitching so hard in my mouth. He was close. I knew it. I sped up, determined to taste every drop of his seed. It must be unbearable for the poor boy to hold out this long, but I wasn't going to stop. I wanted to make him cry with pleasure in the throes of orgasm. And finally, he did. The first thing I noticed was the warmth of his seed as it hit the back of my throat with such force. The second thing I noticed was the taste. Incredibly, it only increased my hunger for him. This was like nothing I'd ever experienced. I moved my mouth all around his cock, determined to get every last drop, all the while watching as he panted, flushed so adorably. I couldn't wait any longer. It was time for us to breed. I felt myself growing so wet down there. My slit was drenched with my juices. They were dripping down onto him. His cock was still erect, ready to be milked. I stared at him, trying to figure out what this new determined look in his eyes meant, when he grabbed my head and made it abundantly clear. He kissed me. I recoiled, surprised by his actions, but he held my head in place, pressing his lips to my mouth with such ferocity. The warmth in my body was almost unbearable. Is this love? Do I love him? I knew what the concept was from him, but I never thought I was capable of feeling it. "I want you," he said, after finally coming up for air. "I need you. Do you need me?" I did need him. I needed him more than anything, and I made sure to let him know that. This was amazing. As I lowered myself down into his cock, we both cried out in abject pleasure. He looked a little nervous. Did he think I was hurt? He didn't hurt me. Nothing he could do would hurt me. And judging from the look on his face, He was enjoying being hurt by me. I was on fire. I moved myself up and down, up and down, taking him deeper and deeper inside me with every movement. I didn't even know it was possible to feel this good. Looking down at him, at the passion and desire I could see all over his beautiful face, he was like my instincts as a predator and lover were working as one. I wanted to give him pain and pleasure in equal measure. So I did. I sped my movements up, enjoying as he moaned with greater intensity than ever. With every motion, I could feel him rubbing deep inside me, awakening me to new heights of pleasure and lust. I dug my claws hard into his shoulders, delighting at the blood between my fingers. He yelped with a start, but his face told me he loved it. He ran his hands all over my body. Taking in every nook and crevice, despite my imposing exterior, on the inside I had never felt so fragile as when I was with him, as if one wrong movement would tear me apart. I had feared he might find me horrifying or undesirable, but the renewed vigor and delight on his face told me my worries were unfounded. I never felt so joyous as I did now. As we continued mating, his body became bloodier and bloodier from the ministrations of my claws. I knew he wanted pain, but this felt like too much, even for me. Not once did he ask me to stop. In fact, it excited him even further. I snapped my tail around his throat, constricting it just tight enough to be pleasant. At this, he looked like he would die from the pleasure. Suddenly, he grabbed hold of my head, staring right at me with those beautiful eyes of his, as he choked out the most amazing thing I had ever heard. "I love you," he told me, looking the best I'd ever seen him. Hair wild, face dripping with sweat, body covered in scratches. "Fuck, I loved it. I want to give you a baby, a hive of your own. Fuck, I don't care what comes after that. All I want is for you to come with me. Come with me." That was all I needed to hear. I grabbed his head and pulled it into mine, kissing him deeply and passionately as I pushed the both of us over the edge. Pleasure exploded through every part of me as I felt his seed shoot deep inside me, as I screamed with ecstasy inside his mouth. I would get pregnant from this. I just knew it. The hive we'd make would be the best the universe had ever seen. I picked myself up off of him. The burning heat inside me finally subsided. His breathing was light and ragged. The poor man has passed out. Maybe I should be a bit less rough with him next time. I hesitated, not knowing what to do next. Normally, my kind would devour their partners after mating to feed the next generation, but I didn't want that. I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. He was everything I'd ever needed, all in one. I picked him up and tossed him over my shoulder, carrying him through the carnage of the facility. I didn't know much about the planet we were on, but surely there was a place I could set up a hive. When he awoke, he would be able to tell me more, surely. He could help me with the hive too. His scientific knowledge would be invaluable. Our descendants would normally be hostile, but with my genetic imprint and guidance, they'd know not to. And besides, I didn't want to be here when the company arrived. I felt the anger I had suppressed quickly returning. How dare they try to separate me from my perfect mate? They had no right. I swore to myself, there and then, that I would protect him from any harm that came his way. Whether from the company or from this strange alien world, nothing would hurt him. They thought they may mean to the perfect organism, but that's what our children will be.